This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast with Andrew Jobling, author, speaker, educator, entrepreneur, and AFL player. Join Andrew as he continues his lifelong journey as a student of human behavior. This podcast will help you live your passion, explore your potential, step into your power, and embrace your possibilities.
Embrace your possibilities.
Possibilities.
Andrew Jobling, welcome to the Wellness Puzzle Podcast for another episode. This is a fabulous one with Bernice McDonald. And in this episode, we talk about courage. We talk about being brave enough to be yourself. Bernice is an author and a coach and a speaker and doing wonderful, wonderful work to help people find their self-worth, build their courage, and live the life they're destined to live. So clearly, this is an important podcast that I hope you enjoy. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Bernice McDonald. Bernice, how are you?
I am great, Andrew. Thank you for asking and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. It's the end of your day. It's the start of mine.
Yes.
And you've had a good day?
Yes. Excellent day.
What's been the highlight?
Productive day, which is what we all want, right? So
what's been the highlight of your day?
The blue sky and sunshine here. I live in Alberta, Canada, and so the weather is awesome. It's never too hot, really, but we have had a beautiful summer, and especially these last few weeks. And my favorite day is a day with blue sky and sunshine and the sun shining down. So I actually just went for a walk a little while ago and just try to soak that sunshine up because we have pretty long winters here, as you know. So
you're heading towards winter. So fall. You've got to soak up the sun and the blue sky.
Exactly. I kind of store it away inside, you know, and then try to remember it on those really cold days when that cold wind is making my face freeze.
How cold does it get, Bernice, on those really cold days?
We're Celsius. So we often get down to 30 below Celsius.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but we have been as low. And fortunately, you know, our climate has changed, so we don't get that low anymore. But we have had periods of time where we're at like at 50 below, which is excruciating.
I can't begin to imagine what that must be like.
No, it's
all I can think of is if it was 50 degrees in the positive,
yeah,
you couldn't go outside.
Ooh,
I mean, you would burn in 3 seconds. 50 degrees below, probably the same. You would burn from the coldness, maybe.
Yes, it's very dangerous to be out on the roads. And I mean, people have to because they work. But your car, when it gets that cold, your car seats literally do not thaw. They feel like you're sitting on wood, even if you have your heater on in your car. But fortunately, like I said, we don't see those kinds of temperatures anymore very often. You know, the whole climate, the whole world is warmed up. So
it has. Well, I think I'll be enjoying winter in Alberta from photos. Is that okay?
Yes. And what's your winter like? You're in spring right now, right?
Yeah, we're in spring. Our winter is nothing like yours. We complain that it's cold. It's not cold. A cold morning, if I wake up and it's a really, really cold morning, it might be zero. That doesn't get much below zero. Occasionally, that's the low. And then the coldest day might get up to 7 or 8. That would be the coldest. We complain about nothing really.
I love it. That's what we walk around here saying, oh, if we could just stay at 10 below or 20 below, we would be fine. You know, it's tolerable. You can put a nice warm coat on and be outside and you're not freezing your feet. You know, it's not really uncomfortable if you're dressed for it. So
it's all relative, isn't it? So what you're used to. Yeah, and that's a really interesting point because it's what people get used to, what's their normal. You know, I remember I used to be a personal trainer, Bernice, and I trained an ultra marathon swimmer. My gosh, she swam the English Channel. She swam around Port Phillip Bay here in Australia. She swam the length of rivers. She's just incredible. And I remember training her in the morning and asked her what she'd done. And she said, oh, I've just did a bit of swimming this morning. I said, how far did you swim? Oh, 20Ks.
Whoa.
She was training with me at 9 a.m. So she's obviously got up at like 3 or 4 a.m. She's swimming 20Ks. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And she goes, not really. That's just what I do. And it's interesting, isn't it? It's just what we do. What's that normal? And you create your own normal. And that's why she swims across the English Channel and back and does all these crazy things. She needs to do that. Thankfully, I don't have that aspiration.
Wow. I just so respect people with that kind of vision. you know, stamina and the perseverance to actually get to the level where they can actually do that. It's incredible.
Yeah, that is incredible. So, Bernice, thank you again for being here. I can see your book, Brave Enough to Be Myself, in the background, which we will chat about for sure. But tell us about what you're doing right now. What is it that's exciting you, that's getting you up on these beautiful mornings and bouncing out of bed and into your day?
Well, I think probably the bottom line is that I have in the last year or two really felt settled into the whole idea that I'm called to create a movement of courage. So, you know, everything I'm doing is moving me in that direction and inspiring other people, particularly midlife women, to stop letting the fear stop them.
Yeah.
Speaking of the swimmer in the English Channel, I can't imagine the kind of fear that that would, you know, bring up for you, what you would have to work through.
I'm not sure if I'm prepared to get past that fear.
I know. But, you know, really, the strategy is the same. No matter what we face in life, there are so many hard things that come up. And it all requires courage. And that's really a bottom line of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you done that's courageous today, Bernice?
Today? That's a good question. I try to do something. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt said, try to do something that scares you every day. So I keep that in mind and have for years. So today, I think what I did that really scared me was actually to send out an email, even to the people that I know follow me and, you know, seem to be supportive of what I do. It's putting yourself out there, because I really try to put my heart and soul into everything I do. And so everything I put out there, whether it's a YouTube video, whether it's an email, whether it's my little books of courage, it all takes courage to be able to just be yourself and put it out there.
Good on you. Well, I'll work very hard to help you with that. And I'll throw questions at you that will take courage to answer. I'll challenge you a little bit, just because clearly that's what you want me to do.
Well, thank you, Andrew.
I'd love to help you in your quest.
Okay, bring it on.
Do you know what? I think it's a great strategy that Eleanor Roosevelt has suggested. Do something that scares you every single day.
Yeah.
I think it builds that muscle, doesn't it? But when you know that things look scary, then you don't go, well, that wasn't that scary at all, was it? Like making the phone call. I'm so scared of that phone call. What happens if this? That wasn't that bad. Or the conversation that you've got to have. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, that wasn't that bad. Or getting up to go for a walk. Oh, that wasn't that bad. All the things we are scared of, in most cases, you don't go and try and pat a brown bear in the wild. Probably not a smart thing to do. That's a fear you want to utilize. But for most of the fear that happens to us, around us, it's nothing to be scared of. And when you do it, you go, that wasn't so bad.
There's the secret right there, is that taking the step is what brings the courage. When you stand right at that line, you know, where you're making that decision, do I do it or don't I? That is where it's putting your hairy toe across that line and taking a step forward that actually creates the courage. And the courage won't show up until you start to take the steps.
You got to move. Yeah. Well, for me, Bernice, this is for me. I have to turn something off, my brain. When I turn my brain off and I just do it, like, for example, in the morning, my alarm goes off before 5 a.m. And before I start thinking about how dark it is, how cold it is, how tired I am, I'm up. I'm out of bed. Act.
Good for you.
You don't think. The more you think at that point when there's fear, the worse things will be. So you just got to switch your brain off, stop thinking, move.
It's so true. And I had to, speaking of swimming the English Channel again, right? What I did, I went through a period of time where I went through a divorce and then I remarried, right? Which was a very scary thing in itself. But what I told my new husband, which I'm not sure was always a good idea, was that, hey, I want to learn to be brave. I felt like I was the most scared person in the world. And so I need to learn to be brave. And so I said, you know what I want to do? I want to go whitewater rafting. Now, this was when I was, you know, 55 and had not done anything adventurous like that before because I was scared. And so what he did, he booked a trip, a whitewater rafting trip. That was the first thing we did. And then after that, for the next few years, we planned a whole bunch of really scary things to do that proved that you can do it.
And that it's not that scary.
Exactly.
How was the whitewater rafting, by the way?
It was amazing. You know, I was nervous. I always say, you know, I kind of had visualized my fear because during my dating days in my divorce, you know, that sort of thing where I was afraid to date, I learned this tactic about separating yourself from your fear. So I would call what a coach told me or what I read in her material was look at your fear right in the eye. Thank it for wanting to protect you, because really that's what it's trying to do. And then ask it to kindly go over there in the corner and eat a cookie, because you need to make the decisions for your own life. So that day when we arrived at the whitewater rafting place, what I say is that I left Fred. I called my fear Fred to make it like a, you know, personification. Yeah. Put it in the back seat. Shut the door, went in, put on my wetsuit, listened to the instructions about what to do and not do, climbed into the raft and just went. And you know, it was so beautiful. It was here in Jasper in the mountains, not too far from where we live. You know, once I got over that fear and realized that whitewater rafting guides know what they're doing. They were looking after us. They do that all the time. We weren't going to pop the raft and fall into the water. We were just
there. And even if you did, you'd be okay.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. We're wearing like wetsuits and life jackets up to the hilt. But then once I relaxed into that, I enjoyed, like, it was a beautiful, beautiful drift down this rapid, you know, it wasn't really a drift, but it was, you know, an adventure going across these rapids and looking at the beautiful cliffs on either side. And when I climbed out at the end, I just had this sense of accomplishment, like, wow, I did it. I did this. This is amazing. And it really wasn't that scary when I was right in it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Bernice, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that story. We're going to break and we're going to come back and dive into your journey to this point. We'll be back.
The shedding of tears after a significant achievement, a meaningful moment or purposeful pursuit is an indication of the powerful emotional joy we all strive for in our lives. What if there was a process for personal transformation that could lead to regular tears of joy moments? In Tears of Joy, Andrew Jobling provides the simple steps that will predictably lead to many meaningful moments of significance, achievement, and well-being. This book offers a sure and certain pathway to transformation that lasts. To purchase Tears of Joy or any of Andrew's other books, go to andrewjobling.com.au.
Bernice, I love the idea of Fred personifying your fear. Fred, and putting him in the car and giving him cookies. Now, here's the good thing. If you keep feeding Fred cookies, eventually he's going to have a heart attack and die.
Yes,
so every time you put your fear somewhere with a really big, unhealthy, fat-laden, synthetic, trans fat-laden cookie, you will kill your fear. It will die of a massive heart attack.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to do.
I guess so. Yeah, you know, but really, Andrew, I don't think we ever lose him.
No,
he's always there.
Niggling.
That's why what I teach in my books, which, you know, my second one's coming out soon. I'm planning to write like a series of books that actually approaches every kind of aspect of how we're afraid for midlife women. So in my books, what I'm trying to train women to do is to go ahead and do what they need to do despite the fear. So make friends with Fred. You know, it's kind of like, okay, Fred, I hear you. You're my protector. I am not going to die in this incident. However, I appreciate your warning, but I'm going to think this through and I'm going to make the decision about where I go from here. You know, I think it's really important just to realize that you're the boss of your fear.
Yeah.
Your fear is not the boss of you.
Yep, that's so true. Now, if it's okay with you, I'd like to welcome men into this conversation as well, because you keep saying you're talking to middle-aged women, but it's not just middle-aged women that deal with fear. It's every human being. So is that okay if we invite men and kids and young people as well into this conversation?
Please.
Because I don't want to lose people. I don't want men to go, well, this is obviously not for me, and stop listening. Because they will.
Yeah.
That's what we men do. We switch off, go, oh, that, you're not talking about me. It's not about me.
Yeah. I don't have to listen, doesn't apply.
Exactly. But no, so, man, you do need to listen. If you're a man listening, please do not go anywhere. Now, the greatest fear, I believe, you talked about whitewater rafting. There's jumping out of planes. There's bungee jumping. There's all sorts of things.
Zip lining,
but even making phone calls to prospective customers, clients, dealing with conflict, that kind of stuff is going to create fear. But the greatest fear, and obviously you talk about this in your book, is the fear of being ourselves. And I know this. I've felt this a lot in my life. I don't want people to know the real me. They're not going to like me. They're going to judge me. They're going to see through me. They're going to see my insecurities and my fears and my flaws and all the things that I need to just mask and hide. I can't show that. The greatest fear of all, I believe, is the fear of being authentically us.
You're absolutely right.
So with that in mind, Bernice, let's go back a little bit. I'd like to hear about your journey because you clearly struggled in this area. Otherwise, you wouldn't have written a book about it. Mm-hmm. So tell us a bit about your journey.
Well, you know, I really believe that we're walking a path, right? And so my path in the beginning was one of, you know, I always wanted to be the good girl.
Why did you want to be the good girl? Were you scared not to be?
Yeah. Exactly. And because I didn't like getting in trouble, you know, I'm a people person in lots of ways. And my personality, even to this day, is one where I do my best to help other people feel comfortable. And, you know, I don't make waves. I'm learning to. And I do when I need to.
Good. Yeah. I want you in this podcast to make waves. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the fear piece you have to deal with in this podcast is to challenge people.
Yeah.
Don't be their friend. Be the voice that they need to hear. Is that okay?
Yeah. Exactly right. Because what resulted was that I just felt I wasn't enough. And I don't know if you've ever heard Tony Robbins say, the biggest fear of all people with skin on is that we're not enough. And if we're not enough, we won't be loved. Yep. And I think that was probably the bottom line of my whole journey was that I was afraid if I didn't behave, if I wasn't enough, I wouldn't be loved. That led me into an eating disorder. I was bulimic for many, many years because I thought I needed to be thin because the first guy I ever dated told me. It led to me, I believe, shutting down so many things in my life that could have been if I would have had more courage. But I was raised that you don't make waves. You don't rock the boat. You just kind of accept your lot in life and you deal with that. But that really wasn't who I am and isn't who I am today. And I have to say here too, what really inspired me was watching my mom and my aunts kind of die long, slow deaths, putting their gifts to sleep because they weren't accepted and didn't believe that they were enough to have gifts even.
Yeah.
So I watched them just fade away and so unhappily. And I just made a determination that that was never going to be me. I wanted to live my life fully. And I wanted also to be able to help other women, other people in life. My husband and I have very lively discussions about this all the time. And he is right there on board with me, you know, as far as us both learning to be courageous in this life rather than to fade away.
Yeah, that's so good. And it's tragic. I'm sorry about your mother and your aunt. But I think there's so many people that go to their grave with their quote with the music still inside of them. Yeah, it is tragic. So from what I'm hearing from you, there's one thing to be courageous, but I think courage requires the foundation. There's something that sits below courage and that's self-worth.
Yeah.
Because I think if we lack that self-worth, if we don't feel like we're good enough, we're never going to find the courage. We'll always find a way of talking ourselves out of it.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the foundation of courage is self-love, self-worth.
I think it even takes courage. Like you can flip that a little bit and say, you need to step into courage in order to believe that you have worth that you have music inside you to give. And that takes courage too, because you're jumping into a whole sea of people out there who maybe have similar gifts and are very much like you. So how do you feel an individual when you're in that sea of people? And I think it's just believing that you're on this planet for a reason.
Yep.
There is a purpose for you to be here. You have some kind of ripple to make, some kind of difference to make. And that's where the courage really kicks in too.
Yeah. So tell us about when you started finding the courage or taking courageous steps. What were the things you did to start build you, the real you, not the one that you were trying to portray to the world?
I realized that what I was really struggling with was my sense of identity, you know, especially when I started to build my coaching practice and become a coach. I was comparing myself always to everybody else. And it was a long, painful type of thing to step by step begin to realize that I am not like everybody else and that's okay. It's okay to be me. It's okay to have my own passion. It's okay to not be the business coach that X, Y, and Z are, to be the life coach that A, B, C are. I need to bring my own personal perspective in life to the table. And I think it was then that I started to really recognize what my strengths are, to realize that I don't have to be like everybody else. So then that means I am strong in my own right. I have things that I love to do, and it's okay to do them. Yeah. So, you know, I really began to do that deep work inside to understand that I am an individual, that I am here for a purpose, and that purpose wants to be let loose in some ways. I didn't even recognize it until a few years ago that I really love to write. And so I began to do that. And it was scary to start to put myself out there. But I did it. I took the steps to do it. Doing all those other scary things showed me that, like you said, when you get on the other side of that thing you're afraid of, you find out that it's really not that scary. When you begin to write and put things out there, it's not really that scary. It's something that if it brings you joy, there's somebody else that will connect with it. And you have to just be your own voice, be the person that you're meant to be.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. But it's not a straight line. We know that. It's not this, right, I've decided now I'm going to be me. I'm going to be courageous. We can try, and then even things can go really well, and all of a sudden the doubt creep in, or someone says something to us, and all of a sudden the fear just jumps back out at us. How do you deal with the fact that you're human and the fact that you're going to go through this whole range of emotions and doubt and fear and excitement and joy and anxiety and all the stuff? How do you deal with those times when the doubt starts to kick in?
Well, just what you said is certainly the first realization, is that it's life. This is part of being human, is that we experience all the emotions, and sometimes they sneak up on us without even realizing it. What really has helped me is to get to the bottom of where that emotion comes from. So if, say, for example, I call it reshaping your story, so that if some incident happens, I now know what meaning I'm giving that incident, what thought comes to me and is defining that for me. Yep. I then understand the feeling I'm having is attached to whatever way I'm defining that incident. So if somebody criticizes me and I immediately go to, oh, I'm no good, I'm worthless, I should just quit. Those are my thoughts about that, which of course brings the not very good feelings.
Of anger, anxiety, fear, all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yep.
From there, you act. The actions come out of your emotions, which are tied to the thought. So if I'm feeling anxious or frustrated or whatever, my actions are going to be much different than if I was thinking the opposite. Now, what I learned was to change the thought. So,
love it.
Yeah. Instead of giving a meaning like, oh, I'm worthless, I should just quit, I say, I am my own person. I have something to give. I have a lot to learn. And that's the joy of life. That creates a totally different feeling, right?
Absolutely. And the other thing, Bernice, because you're singing my song right now, because you can see behind me my book, Tears of Joy. And that's exactly what that's about. Thought leads to the emotion. So every emotion is the result of a thought. You're talking about when someone criticized you. If we use that as the example that led you into anxiety or fear or the feeling that you're not enough, then you feel the emotion, you feel the anxiety, and you question the thought. In my mind these days, I'm going, okay, so yeah, I am good enough. I can say that to myself. But then I'm thinking about that person that criticized me, and I'm thinking, what if they're going through a really tough time right now? What if they're having a tragedy in their life? What if things are not going well? What if they're in a really deep, dark place? And the way they're speaking to me is simply a reflection of how they feel about themselves. Now, in that moment, I go from anger and anxiety to empathy. In a moment, in a heartbeat, all of a sudden, I wonder if there's something I can do to help them. And all of a sudden, the emotion changes in an instant.
Yes.
The second we can identify the thought that's leading to the emotion. I think that is the most powerful skill we can develop to navigate life.
Totally agree. That's beautiful, Andrew. So very true too. So very true. But I think that that doesn't come until you begin to really believe in yourself and to believe that as an individual, as you in yourself are worthy and you don't deserve to be treated badly. I think you need to come to that place first before then you can start to look at the other person and say, why would they say that to me? You know, like they must be going through something. I'm really intuitive. And like I said, I like people to feel comfortable around me because I can read when they're not comfortable. So I have kind of like that spidey senses. You know, I know when somebody, and I really appreciate that gift in myself because it helps me. But I often will encourage other people to stop and think about where they're lashing out, where their judgment of you is coming from. Because like you said, everybody has their story. Right. And they're speaking out of their own emotion in reaction to that story.
Yeah. And in most cases, in probably 99.9% of cases, it's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with them.
Yeah. That was like one of the biggest lessons I ever learned in life. It was so freeing to realize that. Right.
Yeah, that is. Bernice, you're doing good. You're facing your fear. We're having a great conversation. We're going to have a break and we'll come back. And we're going to give some tips because your book title, or your subtitle of your book, Brave Enough to Be Myself, is a 30-day journey from not enough to brave enough. So I think people would be interested to find out about some steps they could take to move from not enough to brave enough. So we'll be back.
What if you had a coach you could carry in your pocket? And every time you said, I don't know what to do, you instantly had three simple steps you could take. The Tiny Brave Steps Generator is a tool created by me, Bernice McDonald, and powered by ChatGPT. From doubt to confidence, from overwhelm to momentum, courage isn't found in being fearless. It's found in that tiny brave step you decide to take. Access this amazing coaching tool at tinybravesteps.com because you are braver than you think.
We almost had a podcast during the break then, Bernice, didn't we?
Yeah, we could talk all day.
We could talk all day because this is the bottom line. This is what we were discussing during the break, is that everything revolves around self-worth and identity and courage. Really, you develop those, and I guess the emotional regulation that we spoke about, that ability to identify the emotion and then the thought and change the thought. And these are the simple things. People think I've got to be a better writer to write a book, or I've got to be fitter and stronger, have a six-pack and buns of steel to be loved and accepted. And it's all about the job that I do and the technical skills that I create and the money I've got in the bank and all these things that people look at and think, well, that's my measure of success. But if you're not developing that inner love, inner strength, inner courage, inner worth, inner identity, then none of those things will last. You might achieve something, but it won't last, and it certainly won't bring that fulfillment that we really want in life.
No, that's so true. I call it the inner warrior. It's finding your inner warrior, because so much happens. Like what I talk about is that life has these bombs that go off and just absolutely devastate your world, or a boulder drops on you out of the blue, or people throw rocks at you, you know, of judgment and criticism. You have to respond to all of those things. And if you don't find that inner warrior inside, you're going to just be left sobbing on the path. Like you'll be devastated. I mean, and that's why a lot of people, as we were saying, go to other things. They would rather turn to alcohol or to Netflix all the time, or gaming, that sort of thing, in order to numb themselves because they don't know what to do in those
things. They don't have to feel those things. They want to avoid them. Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to try and help people, Bernice, so they don't have to avoid these things anymore, so mm-hmm. they can love themselves. And here's the thing that I think is important. None of us are flawless.
Yeah.
We're all going to say the wrong thing at times, make mistakes. We're going to do things that we go, ooh. And we're going to say things, and we're going to say these things. And even as those words are coming out of our mouth, we're going to go, this is not going to land well. We know it. And so I think, can we say to people right now, we all do that. Every human does it. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It just means you are human. We are emotional beings. One of the greatest things we have as humans is emotion. Because emotion, if we harness it, is what creates everything we now experience in our world. All the amazing things, when you sit in your room and look around that room, from the light bulb to the computer that you're on, to your iPhone, to the chair that you're sitting on, to the TV you're watching, to the oven that you use to cook your dinner, whatever, came from someone's emotion that they harnessed to create. Every one of us has got it.
Yes.
So what are some simple steps? I don't want to give away the contents of your book, not all of it anyway, some of it maybe. But how do we go from not enough to brave enough? What would be a simple step you could recommend, Bernice?
Well, the first one we've been talking about a lot. I actually have a four-step courage framework, I call it, that gets you to the fourth step, which is making your impact in the world, however you want that to look. But the first one is to wake up your courage. Like, you have to realize that you're afraid. You have to realize what makes you afraid. You have to realize that you're responding to fear or letting it control you. And you have to do things to get to help yourself be brave. So that's the first step I always recommend. And then the second is to embrace who you are. So find out all the beautiful things about you, the strength inside, who that warrior is, what you bring that nobody else does in the way that you bring it, which then leads to the third step, which is standing up for you. Like, come on, guys, just be your own best advocate. Love who you are, appreciate who you are, admire who you are, mistakes and flaws and all, and yep. See how it all works together, and yep. Then stand up for yourself.
Absolutely.
Like take the steps that honor your own passions, your own choices, your own love for what you like to do. Or like with me, walking, I know I love blue sky and sunshine. So take yourself out for a walk, like let yourself fill up with that. And, yep. You know, and all of those three things will lead you to a place where you become so much more yourself and you will be able to make that impact that we all want to make in our world.
I love that. And I love that standing up for yourself. I think that's important because don't we let our own self-talk, we defeat ourselves with our own self-talk without standing up and saying, hey, that's not me. That is not who I am.
Yes, or who I want to be.
Exactly. And that's the same with other people that we just let criticize us and we just let it sink and absorb into our belief system. Stand up. If someone calls you an idiot, say, I'm not an idiot. You don't have to be abusive. You don't have to be aggressive. You just have to say, I don't agree with you. That's not who I am. Yeah. And I would appreciate if you speak to me with more respect. You can say that to someone. Here's the thing that also means is you have to be treating other people the way you deserve and want to be treated. So you can't be abusive and critical to others and then expect them not to be abusive and critical to you. And that comes with that self-acceptance and self-love piece. If you love yourself and you're joyful, you're not going to be abusive and critical to others.
And deciding who you want to be, like in that embrace who you are, within that is you deciding what are your own values? How do you want to treat people? How do you want to be treated? I had to learn this when I was thinking about getting married again and finding the love of my life. It was like, okay, I have all of these lofty goals for who I want to be in a relationship with, but am I able to be the person that can be in that relationship?
Absolutely. I think a lot of people think about the life they want to live. They put the vision board up and the people they want to attract, but they don't stop and think about who they want to become because you don't get what you get through luck. Yeah. You get what you get and you have what you have because of who you are.
Yeah.
You attract who you are.
Exactly. And that, again, comes through all the hard things in life. That person that you are and that you want to become will only be formed and developed because you have found the courage to find your inner warrior and walk through all the hard things that life throws at you.
Love it. Okay. So before we end, Bernice, what I want to ask you is to give people some ideas. If they're sitting going, I need to do something brave today. I need to be courageous today. What would be some simple things you could suggest for them to do today to be brave and to feel good about themselves?
Well, I think one of the things that really helped me, and I think that a lot of people don't really put enough stock into this, but realize, start to figure out what is your favorite color? What is your favorite food? Like, who are you? And really, what do you want in life and from life? And then start to, you know, if somebody says, hey, where do you want to go eat? Don't say, oh, well, it doesn't matter to me. We can go wherever you want to go. Say, how about we go here or there? Put your ideas out there. Start to have a voice speaking up and contributing to the world from your perspective.
I love that. Don't we think when we say, oh, wherever you want to go, we think we're actually being humble or considerate, but actually we're not, because that person's asking us. They don't want to think about it. They want us to make a decision. Because if we put it back to them, whatever you want, then they've got to make a decision. But if I go, no, I want to go and have Mexican food, let's go here. And they're going to go, awesome, let's do that. Good, I don't have to think about it. So that takes courage to say, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Let's go and do this. Because, again, what are we fearful of? Someone saying, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. And on the other side of that, if they say, let's go for Mexican food, and I think it almost takes more courage to say, you know, I'm not a big Mexican food fan. Yeah. Is there another place or do they have other food there? Or, you know, like to speak up and say, hey, I'm not really totally 100% on board with that idea because this is who I am.
So it really is just allowing you to be you and not to worry about what other people think about that.
Yes.
That, again, is the greatest courage that there is for every human. Brave enough to be yourself. I think that is awesome. Bernice, this has been wonderful.
It has. I've really enjoyed it. It's
gone so fast, hasn't it? Time has just gone zap.
Yeah. Like I said, we could talk all day, I'm sure.
We could, but your day's coming to an end. So you probably want to go and sit down and chill out with your hubby and have some Mexican food.
Yeah. No, actually, I'm not a Mexican food fan.
What is your food, Bernice? What's your favorite?
I think I'm probably more of an Italian food fan. I like tomato sauce and that sort of thing, you know, the flavors.
And final question, favorite color?
Favorite color, royal blue.
You're wearing royal blue, aren't you, right now? I can't see very
well. I like it. How about you?
Yeah, blue's always been my favorite color as well. I'm not quite as specific as a particular shade of blue, although I just love color.
Oh.
I love walking around because I live near the water and I just love looking at the blue of the water, the blue of the sky, and then all the different shades of green with the trees and the grass.
Yes.
That's
isn't that beautiful?
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
What about your favorite food?
I love food. I love Greek, the spices and simplicity of Greek food. Mediterranean, that's my favorite.
Everyone hears. So they're going to send you gift cards for Mediterranean food.
Well, please bring it on. Bernice, how do people buy your book? How do they find you?
Well, my book is on Amazon. And as I said, there will be more coming out in this series. But you know what I'd really like people to know? I actually created, I'm very proud of this, an AI chat that's powered by them, but it's called the Tiny Brave Steps Generator. And I hate for people to be stuck because I believe that courage comes through taking steps, taking action. And so if they go to tinybravesteps.com, they can sign up for that generator for free and they can talk to it about anything they're stuck on, a problem they're having, self-image issues, business strategy issues, and it will talk it through and then it will give them three small steps to take that will move them forward so that they can't say, I don't know what to do.
That's great. Now you can get it through your website, which is BerniceMcDonald.com. And then when you click on more, you can see Tiny Steps Generator. So it's there as well.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great idea. Bernice, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation. I'm very grateful for you and good on you for your courage to be here and courage to do what you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Fabulous conversation with Bernice. It really was a very powerful and important conversation, which I hope you got a lot out of. And you're feeling a little bit more courageous right now. If you want to feel more courageous and you're ready to start doing something, then I would suggest the first step is to go to her website, which is BerniceMcDonald.com, and then go to the Tiny Steps Generator and fill in the form and she will send you some stuff, which I'm sure will make a very positive impact on your life. It was a wonderful conversation and I'm glad you were here to experience it with me. I hope you'll share it because it's an important one and I hope you'll be back with me for my next episode. My name's Andrew Jobling. This is the Wellness Puzzle Podcast.